We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Coming up on podcast 1454, Rivian wins $1.5 billion of incentives for a new mega construction plant. Stick around and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the show today, why there is plenty enough materials for batteries here in Europe, why Elon Musk says the world will choose batteries over hydrogen, and GM saying they will re-enter the European market with just EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is Tuesday, 3rd of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with the headline story, Rivian winning a $1.5 billion state incentive package to build their huge new plant in Georgia. Now, I believe, looking at these stories over the last few months on this podcast, there was some debate about where Rivian might go. Of course, they're a Californian company with their current plant. They're building their vehicles in Normal, Illinois. They were courted by the likes of Texas, unsurprisingly, Arizona. But they will build their new mega plant and battery cell production, I think, is included in that in Georgia. $1.5 billion in state and local incentives to build this massive plant near Atlanta, bolstering the company's production efforts, despite quite a lot of local resistance to the project. The biggest in Georgia history. It consists of tax credits, abatements and subsidies like site prep and job training from the state, according to a statement by the Georgia Department of Economic Development yesterday. Bloomberg.com writes, Rivian will get $476 million in tax credits if it fulfills its promise to make 7,500 new jobs by the end of 2028. And if it doesn't, there are clawbacks to protect the taxpayer. Georgia is putting in 288 million in discretionary spending in the form of site preparation and job training. Tax abatements from the four counties hosting the plant make up the rest of the package, about $700 million over the next 25 years. Well, Rivian's investment would be the biggest economic development project in Georgia since World War II. Of course, there is the big Kia development at West Point, isn't it? Rivian has pledged to create more than 7,500 jobs. A few months ago, they were talking about 10,000 jobs, but it looks like they've kind of settled a little bit lower. The eventual goal of making 450,000 vehicles annually at the site, that is a massive production facility. 450,000 vehicles dwarfs some of the big sites in the US from like Ford and BMW, etc. Rivian say they will pay workers an annual average salary of $56,000, and the project will create another 8,000 indirect jobs. So some good news there behind Rivian. I think a company that, whether you want to get into the whole stock price fall or not really actually, but simply a company that is desperately trying to scale, desperately trying to keep their owners, you know, Amazon, as in their big investors, happy with the commercial vehicles, desperately trying to keep their retail customers happy with the trucks, the R1T, desperately trying to ramp up the SUV, the R1S. And it is a very hard situation for any startup, especially Rivian, which has been lauded in many ways and given and put on such a big pedestal as well. So much expected of it. That's great news that that new facility will be built there, and they have decided on that Georgia plant. Rivian also started building out their service network in Canada as they prepare to deliver the first vehicles this summer. I think June or July, Canadian buyers get the Rivians. Automotive News Canada reporting end of last week on Friday that Rivian has begun recruiting staff for their Vancouver service centre. Rivian touts a network of Rivian-owned and Rivian-certified independent collision centres to look after bodywork damage, exterior damage, and you can have a look at that story in collisionrepairmag.com. I found that. I do scour the internet for you on this podcast. There you go. Website I've never used before. Now let's talk about how Europe has enough battery metals for their EV future. One of the common things I hear, especially from critics of EVs, is there just aren't enough bits for the batteries, and there aren't enough bits locally. And actually, we're completely reliant on China and Asia. As I was talking about on yesterday's podcast, how the US, how the Biden administration wants a domestic battery industry. Well, what about here in Europe? Well, Europe's dependence on Russian oil is currently putting $285 million a day into Putin's pocket. And if not Russia, then at the minute we would always be reliant on autocratic regimes like Saudi Arabia or Iran, unless we drastically cut our oil consumption. Now, Julia Poliskanova is the Senior Director of Vehicles at Transport and Environment, and she writes a piece for Automotive News, and she says this: some claim that ramping up electrification in the 2020s is not possible because there aren't enough metals like lithium available to build lithium-ion batteries. A new T&E report today shows that it's the political priorities that are wrong, not raw material shortages. That's the problem. The maximum volumes of battery quality nickel, so nickel sulfate, and lithium, both hydroxide and carbonate, expected to be mined and refined globally until 2025, is plenty, enough to make 14 million pure electric cars already next year. We have enough of the materials. This is a 55% increase on what actually we need, according to how many EVs will be sold next year globally. Even if the raw materials market becomes tighter, 21 million battery electric cars can be produced in 2025 with 50% more materials than we need. It shows that the electric car market is not constrained by the supply of raw materials. And yes, it's a more complex issue to do with political will, to do with the car makers, to do with actually getting them out of the ground. Rather, though, it's the European regulations that dictate how many EVs are being made. The European regulations, specifically the CO2 regulations, if you're not aware of these things, where the rules and regs govern the fleet CO2 of all the vehicles sold by the big car makers, that's actually what's driving the move to EV, not the fact that we have plenty of materials or not enough materials. China is in a race to secure global lithium assets and expand battery production at home and abroad. We see more and more Chinese companies investing into Europe to get a hold on the European market, as well as China. In the US, they've invoked their Defense Production Act to boost critical raw materials. Europe, instead of looking inward and seeing all the materials that we have here in Europe, is actually flying away to the likes of Qatar and Iran and using diplomatic muscle to just get more oil and gas contracts, writes Julia from TNE. Have a look at that article. It's a real long read, and it's really fascinating. It's food for thought if you like these kind of things, thinking the wider issues around electric vehicles and the future of the materials as well. But interesting that that study there shows, hey, if someone says we haven't got enough of the stuff in the ground, that's not true. It's the political will to do it and getting it out as well. Now let's talk about how prices of EV battery materials have soared over the last year. Battery-grade nickel is breaking fresh records after the invasion of Ukraine and Russia. It's a major nickel producer. Some analysts have warned of short-term battery supply bottlenecks in the EV industry as we accelerate production of zero-emission vehicles. That would then be followed by a glut as more and more mining and battery projects are coming online. I'll pop a link to that Reuters story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Now, Tesla is building a second assembly line near the Shanghai Gigafactory. It will add 450,000 units of capacity, a bit like the Rivian number that I told you about a moment ago. That is a huge amount of capacity to add for Tesla. And the news, rather than being tweeted about by the CEO or some big grand announcement, the final confirmation, because we knew they were building, we knew they were expanding, we've already had the announcements, we know that Tesla were increasing the headcount, and we knew there was some land next to it, and it was kind of odds on they were going to build a second one there. But as far as I know, not confirmed, but correct me if I'm wrong, I may have missed it. A lot of news going on, I can miss stuff. But Tesla has picked a location to build a second production facility in Shanghai. It's near the existing Gigafactory, Giga Shanghai, or Gigafactory 3, and it consolidates the production base's role as the largest export hub of Tesla globally, according to a letter. This was a letter sent by Tesla to local authorities, and it's been seen by the South China Morning Post. The letter was specifically to thank local authorities for helping get production started again, because local authorities helped with arranging buses to bring people into the plant, and also I think with some screening and other things as well. And as part of that, Tesla also said, thank you very much, really appreciate all your help, looking forward to building the new assembly line with an annual capacity of 450,000 units to make Model 3s and Model Ys. Now, existing Giga Shanghai made 484,000 vehicles last year. That's over half of the entire Tesla production. China is really, really important to Tesla. Back in February, we had those indications that I mentioned that they were going to use that land next to Giga Shanghai for a major expansion. There's no clear timeline, by the way, but it looks like it will bring Tesla's capacity in Shanghai to around 1 million cars a year. Electrek and Fred Lambert writes, I quote, along with Giga Shanghai, Tesla is also simultaneously planning a similar capacity in Berlin and Texas, but with the company planning to also start with a capacity of 500,000 vehicles per year at each factory. We're talking about 1.5 to 2.5 million vehicles of annual production capacity added in the next 2 to 3 years. Now, let's talk a little bit of Elon Musk, because he says the world is going to choose batteries over hydrogen. Elon Musk was responding to a tweet of an article published in universal-sci.com. That delved into research by the University of Berkeley, or Berkeley, I should say, shouldn't I? The research concluded that a photovoltaic array that uses compressed hydrogen for storage is the best solution. The finding was based on a study of several methods of how to make energy on Mars. Well, the surplus electricity can be used to generate hydrogen from water and be stored in pressurized vessels used later in fuel cells. But Elon Musk took exception to this article and said it's not true. Somebody tweeted, World and Science on Twitter tweeted this, and I quote, interestingly, when it comes to the storage of surplus energy, the scientists lean towards hydrogen, as hydrogen can also be used to create ammonia for fertilizers when combined with nitrogen. Well, Elon Musk replied, he said, not true. overwhelmingly, the world will choose batteries. And Professor Ray Willis from Down Under, who I suggest you follow, because Prof is a legend, he says, yes, renewables from wind and solar supported by batteries and also for battery electric vehicles available and affordable now. Hydrogen, not a transport solution now. It's a distraction. Pursuit of hydrogen diverts from the real action today. And you've got to agree, actually, with that. A lot of people who would talk about hydrogen being the future are forward-thinking, maybe 5, 10 or 15 years. Because let's face it, hydrogen is always 15 years away. Whenever you look back at the last 20 years or 30 years of being promised a hydrogen future, it's always 10 or 15 years away, and it always will be. And yet, battery technology for EVs, for storage, for grid-level storage, is not just around, it's not only here now. It's being used and it works really well. It's literally under our noses. But hey, maybe hydrogen one day will find a use somewhere, possibly. I don't know, like long distance aviation or something because of the energy density. We'll wait and see. Looking forward to finding out. Now, coming up on the podcast soon, General Motors will re-enter the European market with electric vehicles. And why owning the battery production insulates you from so many of the pressures in the EV world, and one Chinese company is showing how that works in practice. Stick around, those stories and a lot more are on the way.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Now, let's talk Volvo Trucks announcing the sales start of their three-strong lineup of electric trucks. The FH, the FM, and the FMX. Tractor models go into production first, but rigid versions join them afterwards at the end of this year. According to the president of Volvo Trucks, it's a milestone. A lot of interest from customers to place orders for these fantastic trucks. Until now, we have mainly offered customers and partners signed letters of intent to buy, he says. But now we're signing firm orders. It's a major step for electrification. Three new additions to Volvo's trucks lineup now makes six full electric trucks that Volvo makes. If you thought the world was waiting for Tesla's semi-truck, you would be wrong. There's six different models from Volvo trucks on sale right now. Now, General Motors' Mary Barra, the CEO, saying that General Motors will re-enter the European market with electric vehicles. Europe is the second biggest EV market in the world. It's behind China. Last year, it was ahead of China. Or was it 2020? It was ahead of China. And then they flip-flop. Almost the same size markets. And yesterday, Mary Barra confirming GM's plans to sell cars once again over here. About 5 years ago, she says, we sold our Opel business, that's Vauxhall, to my UK listeners, to what is now Stellantis. And we have no seller's remorse from an internal combustion business, she said at a conference in Los Angeles. She continued, we are looking at the growth opportunity that we have now because we can re-enter Europe as an EV player. And I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, nothing specific, no timelines, no dates, but very, very interesting. The sale of Opel Vauxhall freed up General Motors to focus on investing in electric vehicles in North America and China, where they've historically made profits. China and BYD are next in the news. And if you are a long-time listener of the podcast and you've heard me bang on about the need to control the batteries as well as making the EVs, and only, was it yesterday, I was raving about BYD, here is proof. evidence to back up the claims that I make sometimes rather than just shooting my mouth off. China's EV and battery giant BYD set a new sales record in April, rising versus March and quadrupling year on year. But how is that possible, you may ask? Wasn't China shut down in April? Didn't Tesla close down their site, losing 50,000 possible cars of production? Yes. Yes, they did. Weren't other car makers shut down? Yes. Yes, they were. And yet BYD still managed to sell 106,000 EVs in the month of April alone. A record. BYD makes their own batteries, you see. BYD is essentially a battery company, as well as a car company. BYD makes their own chips, too. BYD is an enormous conglomerate, controlling so many bits of the supply chain that they have been more insulated than any others. And whilst they may have slowed down or stopped production, they were ready to go again. And of course, they can prioritise, you guessed it, themselves. Well, let's compare. NIO sold only 5,000 vehicles in April, 50% down. XPeng selling 9,000 vehicles in April, 42% down on March. It backs up a Deutsche Bank analyst, Edison Yu, who wrote back in April that XPeng had been less affected by COVID lockdowns because their sales weren't down as much. But you know who's what up? BYD. You know why? They make the batteries. They make the chips. They make everything. Huge company. And they were able to insulate themselves from these things. I'm expecting to see way, way more of that over the next decade as this once in a lifetime, in a generation move happens to electric vehicles. I'm so excited to just kind of be an observer, really, and a reporter on what's happening. Really fascinating to see how car companies will change in our lifetimes. Next, Volkswagen's subsidiary Škoda, the Czech bit of VW. They make the ENIAC, of course, the ENIAC IV, and it may be too successful according to a Forbes piece. Škoda, owned by Volkswagen, are encroaching on VW territory, and particularly so if you look at the success of the ENIAC last year. From a standing start, Škoda sold 42,000 all-electric ENIACs. They even took seventh place in the Western European Sales League. They were only off the ID4 by about 10,000 with a Škoda, and the ID3 wasn't that far ahead. ENIAC prices, though, are high. ENIAC prices are really high. The IV Founders Edition is 48,000. You can get ENIACs for 50,000 or more. Škoda's next three electric cars really have to be below the ENIAC. They have to be a small car. They have to be anything to lessen the impact on VW. Because if you're speccing an ID4 and you're speccing an ENIAC, now the actual base price of an ENIAC is not too high. But the problem with the ENIAC, and it is a wonderful, fabulous car, is so much of it is on the options list in order to get that initial price down that by the time you spec the ENIAC into the car that I would want, at least, man, that is, like I say, it's late 40s, early 50s, like a £50,000 car. And for me, of a certain age, you know, I was born 78, so I grew up in the 80s, and you know, I'm 43, and Škoda is still, to me, the bit of a rubbish spin-off bit. Now, hey, I owned an Octavia Estate, the RS Turbo, with all Audi bits under the bonnet, and I loved that car before I got into EVs. My goodness me, it's the one the police drive on the motorways over here. People always got out of my way, funnily enough, on the motorway. It was great. That was a rapid motor. And looking under the bonnet, all the bits were stamped with Audi rings. So, do you know what I mean? Like, but that was a cheap car to buy. But not anymore. Škoda's are really expensive to buy now. Analysts at the French auto consultancy InnoVev said manufacturers appear to be happy to sell less volume if they're making higher profits. And VW seem happy with that. But at the bottom end of the market, we don't have too much. Citroën Amis and Renault Twizys, too limited, too small to generate sales. Chinese vehicles like the Mini EV, not for sale here. Meanwhile, Škoda's first EV has been so well received that with its big wheels, light up grille, glossy black trim, wireless phone charging, lovely interior, it's so much not the cheap bit of VW anymore. I don't know about you, I'm probably talking to my UK listeners here, probably of a certain age as well. But do you remember Škodas in the 1980s and 1990s? And I forget what they were called. Was it the 120 or was it the Estelle? Our neighbour, anyway, when I was growing up, maybe I was like 10 or 12, into cars, our neighbour had one of these. And it really was something from Eastern Europe. It was a tin can. It had those vertical sliders for the heater had like three different things, and you had to like slide these big levers up and down to get, you know, either heat upwards or downwards or hot or cold. Obviously, I had the gear stick, and that was about it. Two dials. It really was like something from the Cold War. Skodas and Larders were the butt of all the jokes in the 1980s. How do you double the price of a Skoda? Put petrol in it. Why do Skodas have heated rear windscreens? To keep your hands warm when you're pushing it. What do you call a Skoda at the top of a hill? A miracle. Like, Skoda was a massive joke in this country. Comedians on TV making jokes about it. If you owned one, you just weren't proud of it. You had it because you had to have it. And yet now, look at the job that they've done. Okay, I was going to say in a few years. Yeah, in quite a lot of years, actually. But hey, I still feel, you know, in my head, I feel 18. In my body, I feel 43. But anyway, they've done an amazing job. But in my head, Skoda is still the bit sort of naff cheap bit of VW. It's certainly not anymore. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com returns next Monday. If you have any suggestions, let me know. And you can email me anytime about anything. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Hey, some more Skoda jokes, and I'll pass them on. Premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Hi to emobilitynorway.com, Octopus Electric Juice. They make public charging simple with one card, one map, and one app. And now millbrookcottages.co.uk. Five-star luxury cottages in Devon. You can jump in a hot tub, and you can watch your EV charge on their chargers there as well. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.